This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
But Fred Craddock tells the story of growing up in Tennessee. He said that his mother was a godly woman, would take them to church faithfully. But Fred said his dad would never go to church, never attend anything. In fact, Fred's father's comment was always this: they're just a bunch of hypocrites down at that local Christian church, and all they want is my money. They're just a bunch of hypocrites, a bunch of phonies. And so for all his growing up years, Fred Craddock remembers dad staying at home and mom taking him to church. Well, the time came later on in life, after Fred Craddock was out teaching in college and gone and away from the home, his father came down with throat cancer, cancer of the larynx. And it got so bad, he got to the place where he couldn't talk. He couldn't talk at all. When Fred's dad was near death at the hospital, Fred said he went to the hospital to visit, and as he walked into the hospital room, Fred said, "I saw these flowers everywhere from those hypocrites down at the Christian church." The room was just full of flowers. "And I saw cards on a wall. There was just one after another. They were just, you know, so many covering one another from those phonies down at the Christian church saying, 'Mr. Craddock, we're praying for you. We love you. We love your family.'" And finally, Fred's dad saw him, I mean, obviously saw him doing this. And Fred went over to his dad to talk to him. And his dad motioned for the box of Kleenex. And Fred handed him the box of Kleenex, and Fred's dad took a pen and wrote on the box, "I was wrong. I was wrong." One of the last communications that Fred Craddock had with his father: "Those hypocrites down at the church, all they want is my money." And when he was dying of cancer, I was wrong. Have you ever wondered about people who are offended by Christians? But more than that, have you ever wondered about people who are offended by Christ? Did you know that Jesus himself would talk about people who were offended by him? And Jesus would use the phrase offended. It's the word offense is used in the King James, but in the passage we study today, the phrase is translated in the NIV that people would walk away because of him. There's so many people today that are afraid to bring up the subject of Christ for fear of offending people, and yet Jesus himself said, "I will offend people." Just talking about Jesus Christ to some people is an offense. Just talking about what Jesus taught is an offense. And today we're going to read where people were offended by Christ, not according to other people, but according to Jesus himself. It's in Luke 7 as we continue exactly where we left off last week. Luke 7:18. John's disciples told him about all these things. And I'll talk about what those things are in a moment. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask you, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So Jesus replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." Christian people will let you down. And yes, there are hypocrites in every church. You work with hypocrites at your company. There are people in every profession that are hypocrites. There are people in every walk of life who are hypocrites, who are not what they pretend to be. And yet ultimately the issue is not other people, the issue is Christ. whenever I'm confronted with a man or woman who talks about the hypocrites that they know, I say, the issue when you stand before God will have nothing to do with me or your brother or somebody standing over here. It will be, what did you do with Christ? When you can call Christ a hypocrite and prove it, then I'll talk to you. When you can say Jesus is a hypocrite or was a hypocrite and you can prove it, then we'll talk. But he was not a hypocrite. He was everything that he claimed to be. Remember that you need to know the last 2 weeks' episodes. Last week we talked about the widow's son who was dead at a town called Nain. He was being carried out of the city to be buried, and Jesus stops the funeral procession in a dramatic moment, one of the most dramatic moments in the ministry of Christ, puts his hand on the coffin, or perhaps on the body itself, and stops it and says, young man, I say, get up, and he does. And one of the most beautiful phrases in all of the New Testament, it says, Jesus gave the young man back to his mother, which we mentioned last week. He's going to do that with all of you. So the Lord's going to give you someone that you lost back to you. And not only that, he's going to give you back to someone when you die, after you die, and that someone will be reunited with you who loves you very much. And the week before, we studied about the centurion, a man who was in charge of 100 Roman soldiers, his servant sick, and he has so much faith in Jesus, he tells Jesus, just say the word and my servant will be healed. You don't even have to come to our house. Just say the word. And what did Jesus say? I've never seen such faith in all of Israel. From a Roman soldier, nonetheless. From a Roman soldier, a Gentile, who just demonstrated greater faith than Jesus saw in anyone. And after those two incidents, John the Baptist sends two of his disciples to talk to Jesus. And you say, well, why didn't John the Baptist go himself? I'll tell you why. Good explanation. He was in prison. John the Baptist was in prison. He sends two of his disciples, and he has a mission. Go ask Jesus, are you the one who was to come? Are you really the Messiah? Are you the one that's to come, or should we expect someone else? What is remarkable about that to me is this. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. John the Baptist saw heaven open up, and he heard the voice of God say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased, and he's wanting to know, is Jesus the one? And I thought about that long and hard. Why would the guy who baptized Jesus and saw what he saw at the baptism of Jesus say, are you the one? I'll tell you why. I think he was discouraged being in prison. I think he was depressed being in prison. I want to share something with you that I have never heard another minister say, but I'm going to say it. I believe that oftentimes when a person falls away, so to speak, from the Lord, whatever expression you want to use, to pull away, fall away, walk away, or whatever, discouragement has more to do with it than a lot of other things. People face chronic illness, chronic pain, chronic depression, chronic disappointment. It's one thing after another. They start to say, is Jesus really the one? Is he the one I'm really to follow? Is he the way, the truth, and the life? Is he the Messiah? And discouragement will cause a person to move away from the Lord more than intellectual doubt.
We'll continue this thought line tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. Crosshope.org.
And discouragement will cause a person to move away from the Lord more than intellectual doubt. I have this theory. I can't prove it, but here's my theory. I can't prove it empirically. I can't give you, you know, statistics. But I have a theory that when people come to me and say, I have intellectual doubts about Christianity, there's one of two things going on, possibly. Either discouragement over what's going on in their life, or they feel guilty about something. Is that always true? No, I would never say that. My theory is that in many of the cases when a man or a woman or a teenager says, you know, Randy, I'm really struggling. I'm having some doubts about Christianity. I want to know two things. Are you going through a rough time right now where you're discouraged? Is there a financial crisis? Is there a family crisis? Is there trouble with your spouse? Is there something going on with the children? Or is there something going on in your personal life? And you know what? I have found in my own experimentation with that, in every case, they say, yeah, I am having a struggle. discouragement and guilt will have more to do with your intellectual doubts about Christianity than maybe anything else. And I think that's what was going on with John the Baptist. I love what Jesus did. Notice that Jesus did not argue with the disciples of John the Baptist. He didn't debate them. He didn't give them a lecture and say, yes, here are the theological reasons why I'm the one. Now, here's the Old Testament scripture. Notice what Jesus does. He says, you go back. He wasn't being facetious at all. He said, you go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is preached to the poor. What Jesus was saying is, look at the fruit that's being produced by what I'm doing. And when you say the things that Jesus did, the blind are seeing, the deaf can hear, and the dead are coming back to life, as was discussed last week. Jesus said, what more proof do you need, John? What more could I do to demonstrate who I am? I am the Messiah. I am the one. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, when you talk about that today, people would say, well, I haven't seen too many blind people see again. I haven't heard too many deaf people being cured of deafness, and I certainly haven't seen a dead person come back to life. May I tell you something? Spiritually, I see it all the time. I've seen people who are blind to their own hatred. Men and women who are blind to the hatred. They're so hateful, they're blind. Have you ever talked about a blind rage? People can be blind in their hatred. And all of a sudden, a point comes in their life when the Spirit of God comes on them and convicts them. And all of a sudden, a man says, I do hate people. I do hate people. I hate people in my own family.
Well, I know that's a strong statement, but you know as well as I do that's true in the lives of many people. I want you to hear a story tomorrow about a man hating his father. It's so dramatic, told by Dale Galloway of Oregon. You need to hear that story tomorrow. We call your attention often to our website known as crosshope.org. Why do we do that? There's a feature on there that's become very popular known as visual stories. Stuart Cook produces them. They're beautiful to look at, powerful to listen to. Felix Weber writes music, individual music for each piece. This isn't canned music we get off the internet. It's original music composed for visual stories. That's on our website, crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Listen in and listen tomorrow to Crosshope.
He shared a powerful story of a minister that I met in Oregon, Dale Galloway. And he told a story of Dale Galloway, who had a man come to him and said, I grew up hating my father. And I know it's wrong, I'm a Christian. And he said, Dale, here's the big problem. My dad's dead. I still hate him. My dad's dead and I still hate him. And I know I've got to do something about it. I thought Dale Galloway gave one of the best psychological, emotional, biblical answers a person can give. Here's what he told this young man. You need to give your hatred of your father to the Lord. You just need to say, Lord, I give it to you. And then he said this. I'd never heard anybody say this before. He said, then you need to let Jesus do whatever he does with dead people in this situation. What an answer. You need to let Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who is the resurrection and life, let him deal with whatever he does with dead people. I thought it was a great answer. You need to turn that hatred over to the Lord. And the phrase that Dale Galloway used was, you need to consecrate it to the Lord. You ever thought about taking something that's a sin and say, Lord, I consecrate it by giving it to you. I offer it up to you as an offering. I've seen spiritually deaf people who can hear sermon after sermon, week after week, and it doesn't make any difference. And one day comes along and they can hear. That's a deaf man, a deaf woman, a deaf young person being able to hear. And the greatest miracle of all is when a person who is dead spiritually is brought back to life. And folks, let me tell you something. To come to Christ is to come to life. Would you write that down in your notes? To come to Christ is to come to life. Jesus would speak of those who came to him were coming into life. If Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that's true, then to come to him is to come into life. To not come to him is to remain in death. To remain in death. I like what Jesus did. He pointed out that people were healed of diseases, and they differentiated between those with physical ailments and spiritual ailments. There were people that were cured, and the Greek word there is theriapu, which we get the word therapy from. He used therapy, in a sense, to cure them of physical infirmities. You know, back in this day and age, disease was rampant. Birth defects were rampant. Blindness was common, everyday experience, because of a disease called trachoma, not glaucoma, but trachoma, that's easily dealt with, I think, with tetracycline now. But it was a common eye ailment of the day, and that's what people had. Everybody had blindness in their family. Everybody had deafness in their family. There was somebody in your family who couldn't walk, who was crippled. There was somebody in your family with a withered foot or a withered hand, and those situations were just rampant in the day because they didn't have a medical treatment and antibiotics and things like that available. And Jesus differentiated and said there were people that needed to be physically healed, but there were people who needed to be cured of troubling spirits. We studied that 3 or 4 weeks ago. Spirits from Satan that troubled them.
Well, we conclude this message from Luke 7, 18 to 23 tomorrow. I think one of the most interesting passages in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus said, "You want to know what I'm doing? I'm healing the sick. I'm dealing with the demonic. I'm raising the dead. That's my proof. That's my passport to prove who I am." And we continue that message and conclude that message tomorrow on CrossHope. CrossHope.org is our website. CrossHope.org. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
When somebody wants to argue with me about Christ intellectually, somebody wants to debate me about the power of God, I want to tell you what I've told several people. And I think this is really emotional. Somebody says, "I don't know if I believe in God." Here's what I say to them. Give your life to him and see what he can do. Give your life to him and see what he can do. I won't debate with you intellectually. I'm not going to argue book, chapter, and verse. I'm not going to have a 5-minute debate with you on whether God exists or Jesus exists. I'm just saying give him your life and see what he can do in your life. You want to know if the blind can see and the deaf can hear and the dead are raised. They sure are spiritually every day. And when I mention the name Robin Williams to you, you think of the comedian. Pretty wild in some of his humor. But there's a story about Robin Williams that I will always remember. And it has to do with his movie portrayal of a doctor in New York by the name of Oliver Sacks. He played the part of this doctor in a movie called Awakenings. It's a true story based on the work of this doctor who worked with 80 men and women who had what was called encephalitis lethargica. They were literally frozen in time after World War I. They were committed to a hospital in New York called Mount Carmel Hospital, and these people literally were in a coma-like state, catatonic. They were like zombies. But because of the drug L-DOPA that this Dr. Sacks used, he was able to bring some of these 80 people out of it, and these people who had been in catatonic states for months suddenly came to life after receiving the drug L-DOPA. And unfortunately, if you saw the movie, you know what happened. Many of them went back into this state. They came out of it, but they went back. But here's what Dr. Oliver Sacks would say. "That was the most significant moment in my life when I saw people come to life. The most significant moment in my life when I saw people come to life, may I suggest to you, the most significant moments that we experience as a body of believers is when we see men, women, and young people say, 'I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' That's significant. That's coming out of death into life if you believe the claims of Jesus. That's walking out of death, so to speak, into the life eternal that only Jesus Christ can offer. I don't know if you've ever been offended by Jesus. There are people here today, you may be offended by Christ. Jesus said it would happen. Jesus said it would happen. People would fall away or walk away because of him, because of what they thought he was placing on their lives. And yet he's the one who can save them. He's the one who can forgive them. He's the one who has life. If you need him, you come today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the message today. John the Baptist said, "Are you the one?" Jesus said, "The deaf can hear, the blind can see, and the dead are raised." What more proof do you want? Can't think of a better answer to give. We're thankful for what you do in lives, even today. Lord, bless this invitation time. If there's anyone who needs to give his or her life to you, would you give them the strength to come forward to say, "I need Jesus Christ in my life." In Jesus' name we pray.
Well, I would be remiss if we didn't ask you that same question. Is there something you need to reveal to the Lord about yourself? It's about your doubts. It's about your anxiety. It's about your fears. It's about your guilt. Whatever it is, would you share it with the Lord right now? And would you use it as a springboard, as an opportunity to say, "I need the Lord in my life. I need to come to the one who is able to make the blind see, the deaf hear, and the dead raise." His name is Jesus. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.